Now, today I want to share on what I've entitled, "The Rebuilding is Taking Place." The rebuilding is taking place. And when we are talking about rebuilding, it clearly indicates that you cannot rebuild something that is not destroyed. If you've got to rebuild, it means it has been destroyed. It means it needs amends. It means there is a need for it to be rebuilt. I cannot rebuild this building if there is no need for it to be rebuilt. If I've got to rebuild this building, then it means that this building has a need to be rebuilt. Yes, and therefore, I want to talk to a people that are in need of rebuilding. Come on. I am sure that you may be in a season of rebuilding. Or you are stepping out of a season of rebuilding. Or you are stepping in a season of rebuilding. Can I be myself today?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Can I be myself?
Yes.
Because I know my accent is strong. So please follow me keenly. I want us to honor the word of God by standing on our feet. If you can be able to stand with your Bible, just stand with your Bible, open the book of Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Actually, we will read Haggai chapter 1 first. If you have your Bible, okay. All right, it's not there. So Haggai chapter 1. And we will... read verses 2. Haggai. Did I pronounce it well in American way?
Yes, sir.
All right. Haggai chapter 1, verses 2. The Bible says, "Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time has come, and the time that the Lord's house should be built." Verses 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for yourselves to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Tell your neighbor, "Consider your ways." Now, I know some neighbors might not be very amusing, but turn to another neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Consider your ways." Now, you are talking as though it is you have been slapped, a very serious slap, and so you are not been able to talk. Now, you can tell another neighbor, "Consider your ways." Chapter 2, verses 2, the Bible says, chapter 2, verses 2, the Bible says, "Speak now, Zerubbabel, to the sons of Shealtiel," Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, "and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And now, how do you see it now in comparison is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." Now, let's read verses 20 of the same. verses 20 of the same. It says this. Again and again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heavens and earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, and the son, and my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word that brings life, the power of your word that brings liberation, the power of your word that brings healing. We thank you because your angels are here to minister to us. And we pray you will minister to us in a supernatural way, in a special way. Every heart in this auditorium, you know their need. You know their struggle. And I pray let there be heavenly visitation over their lives right now, even through the power of your word. Give us revelation and understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give somebody, give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Now, if you are used to be, have your seats. If you are used to be quiet, I plead with you that today, you will be a little bit loud. And when you get to hear a word that resonates with your spirit, feel free to say amen. Amen. You can be alone that stands up and say amen, that's fine. Because your situation is not your brother's situation. Your struggle is not your brother's, your sister's, struggle. You are in your own world. They are on in their own world. All right. So what resonates with you might not be the same that resonates with the other one. Amen. So when you hear a word that speaks to your spirit, then just stand up and shout, amen. Amen. Now, if you want to know how powerful or how powerless you are, wait until you encounter a situation in your life that is beyond your abilities, your human abilities. If you want to know how powerful, how muscular you are, how weak you are, wait until you encounter situations that are beyond your human wisdom, that are beyond your human knowledge, that are beyond your human connections and networks. It is then that you realize that mortality cannot do without God. The existence of mortality is God. Your existence is completely God. I am not sure how other folks do it. Neither am I interested to know how they do it. But for me, I can't do without God. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, I can't do without God. Because when I look at my life and where I've come from, man, I'm going to do nothing without God. Amen. God becomes the central part of my life. Yes. Because it is the grace of God that has brought us this far. It is the masses of God that has established us. It is the steadfastness of the love of God that has enabled us to be where we are today. We have nothing we can boast about it. If we have to boast, then we can only boast in the grace of God. If we have to boast, then we can only boast in the mercies of God. If we have to boast, then we can only boast in the power of God Almighty. Because we are dealing with God who is unlimited in power. He is unlimited in mercy. He is unlimited in grace. He works in the past. He works in the present. And he works in the future. He is a God that has overturned and overruled kingdoms and empires of the world. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing can struggle with him. He holds the sovereign power. And therefore, if we have to understand Haggai, where we read, if we go to understand Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, where we read, we've got to go back to chapter 1, where we read. Yes, we understand at this point that the temple of God in Jerusalem had been looted. The temple that was magnificent, the temple that was completely flowing in glamour. Everybody admired the temple that Solomon had built. Anybody who passed around the city of Jerusalem, they turned their neck on the temple and they said, "Wow." It was a wow scenario. The temple that Solomon had built was not only magnificent in the outward, but also in the inside. It was amazing. Because the presence of God was in there. Not only was the presence of God dwelling in the temple, there was also some vessel of honor, vessels of gold, some vessels of bronze, some vessels of silver that were very worth a fortune, and they were in the temple. So everybody that saw the building from outside and everybody that entered into the temple enjoyed what Solomon had built. But alas, the temple at this point when this scripture is being written, the temple had been looted, destroyed, and left in shambles. This temple was a focal point of Jerusalem's relationship with God. It was a symbol of God's presence. Everybody who had a need ran to the temple. Do you remember when Jesus said that my house will be called the house of prayer to all nations? So this temple was valuable to the people of Israel. Everybody that had issues, everybody that had a need, ran to the temple. Why? Because they knew when they get to the temple, their situations will be resolved. They knew when they get to the temple, every fear would be gone. And the word of God came to Prophet Haggai. When God had seen the city, the temple had been destroyed, left in shambles, and valuables having stolen and looted in it. And God reached out to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua. Zerubbabel, who was the governor, and the priest Joshua. And he instructed them to carry out the assignment of rebuilding the temple. Because God's heart went for the temple. It was a place of his dwelling. And where God dwells, he executes. Oh, you did not hear that. God dwells in a place where he can only execute his authority and his power. Let me show you something. A throne A throne is an establishment of a kingdom. Are we getting that? A throne is an establishment of a kingdom. There can never be a kingdom without a throne. And there can never be a throne without a kingdom. And therefore, the temple was a place. Was a place where God dwelt. A throne of God. And in that place, he executed whatsoever he wanted to execute. But now the place has been destroyed. And so God calls these two gentlemen and tells them, I want you to lead the entire nation in rebuilding the temple. Why? Because the temple is my focus. My focus is on the temple. When God is instructing these two gentlemen, Zerubbabel and Joshua, already Israel as a nation had stopped rebuilding. At chapter 2, they had begun to rebuild in chapter 1. When you get to chapter 2, they had already stopped rebuilding the temple. And their focus went to their own personal families. Now they took time. They made their homes a priority. They began to build amazing houses. Yeah, I mean, luxury homes. And that provoked God because they left the house of God in ruins and unattended, and they ran to do their own thing. Let me tell you something. When you leave the work of God unattended and you run to your own issues, you are actually provoking the wrath of God. God must become a priority. When you fail to make God a priority and make yourself a priority, you are simply replacing your priorities with God, and God does not share positions with anybody. Now, you are bringing the wrath of God to yourself. You are actually exhilarating the wrath of God. Let me use that word, to exhilarate. Okay? I know my English is a little bit strong. Yani, you are stepping on the fuel. You are stepping on the fuel to bring the wrath of God closer to you. That is the danger. And we are living in a society which actually values their vacations. They value their leisure activities. They prioritize their holidays. And this is actually the problem that Judah had. Judah had left the house of God unattended, and now they went to build themselves luxury homes. How many times have you heard it? Today is a Bible study day, and you went to watch a football game. How many times did you hear today is a prayer day? We are fasting and praying in church. And you walked out and say, I'm going to mow the grass. How do you say? How do you say it in English, in American English, to mow? Oh, thank you. To mow. Okay. Remember my English. Okay? Remember my English. And by the way, if you happen to miss a word, just say repeat. All right? Is that okay? Yeah. If you miss a word, just say, thank you. And therefore, Judah had already neglected the responsibility of building the temple, and they went to build their own houses. And their houses were looking amazing than the house of God. Now, in chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, God turned to Zerubbabel and his friend Joshua, and he questioned them. Hey, who is left among you that saw this house in the first glory. In other words, what God is saying, this house has lost its former glory. This house is not in the place or in the condition that it was used to be. This house has lost its honor. This house has lost its praise. This house has lost its attraction. Who among you is left who saw this house in its former attraction condition? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now, friends, I want you to remember that it was King Nebuchadnezzar II, the king of Babylon, who carried out the destruction of God's temple. It was the king Nebuchadnezzar II. And King Nebuchadnezzar II did three huge mistakes. Tell your neighbor, three huge mistakes. Tell your neighbor, three huge mistakes. Number one mistake that Nebuchadnezzar committed, Nebuchadnezzar looted the temple. He looted the house of God. He took away sacred items that were in the house of God. He took away the gold items. He took away the silver and bronze, things that were dedicated to the service of the Almighty. And the man took them away. And when he took them away, that displeased the Lord. That made the Lord so angry. But I remember the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Have you ever read that before? That God is a jealous God. He cannot share his glory, the glory of his house, with anybody. He cannot share the praise of his house with anybody. Now listen to me, friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, don't you know that you yourselves are the temple of God and God dwells in you? Listen to me, friends. You are the temple of God. Listen to me. You are the temple of God and God dwells in you. God has deposited in you some valuable kingdom. Valuables. Can I speak to somebody this morning? God has deposited in you some kingdom valuables for kingdom advancement because you are his temple and he is jealous about you. But somehow the temple who you are has been looted. Somehow the temple of God who you are has been invaded by the devil, and the devil has looted your gift. The devil has looted your ministry. The devil has looted your joy. The devil has looted your peace. The devil has looted your triumphs. But I came to tell you one thing. You are in the season of rebuilding. You are in the season of rebuilding. I mean, some of you may have been looted their money. Some of you, your money may have been looted. Your business may have been looted. Your children may have been looted. And you are almost losing your mind. Listen to me, friends. God is a jealous God. Tell your neighbor, God is a jealous God. God is jealous about you. Do you know why? Because you are his temple and he dwells in you. Didn't I hear revelations? The Bible, in the Revelation, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody opens the door of his heart, and I will come in. And when I will come in, I will not just come in and stand. I will not just come in and sit. I will not come in and keep quiet. I will come in and dine with you." But now the items that God would use to dine with you have been looted. Have been looted. And I hear God say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 17. The Bible says, if anyone or anything destroys God's temple, God will destroy it. I wish somebody would have put that one there so that the people of God may not think that I'm reading my own thing here. If anyone or anything destroys my temple, I, God himself, will destroy that very thing. Because God is jealous about his temple. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor you are the temple of God. Ah, you're not talking. Tell your neighbor you are the temple of God. I know you don't talk much when you are in church, but for today, just turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor you are the temple of God, and God dwells in you. Oh, come on, everybody. And God dwells in you. God dwells in you. And everything that destroys you, God will destroy it. He says, if any man destroys the temple of God, I will destroy it. The sickness that is destroying you, God is dealing with it. The brokenness that is destroying you, God is destroying it. I'm talking to you right now. Am I talking to you right now? Everything that is destroying you, God is destroying it. The spells that are withholding your life, God is destroying them. I came to submit to somebody that today you are stepping into a season of rebuilding. Number two. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Destroyed the temple completely. He destroyed the temple. He demolished the house of God. Now, that's very critical. Because now the temple had become a shadow of what it used to be. It never carried the same glory that it was carrying. It never reflected the same honor it was reflecting. It was a rejected environment. It was a rejected environment. And God called the two young men and asked Zerubbabel and Joshua, "Among you, who saw this house in its former glory? And how does it look to you now? Does it reflect what it used to be? Does it reflect my honor? Does it reflect my praise? Does it reflect what you knew before?" No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed, demolished, and left it in ruins. Some of you are a shadow of who you used to be. Some of you, if anyone who knew you when you were in Montana and they come to Oklahoma and see you today, they look at you, they will be like, wait a minute, is this the same person? You remember one lady called, there was a situation of Ruth and Naomi. Hello? Are we here? Amen. There is a situation of Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi goes back home and said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because God has dealt with me so bitterly. I've lost everything I had. When Naomi left going to the land of Moab, she left a married man. She left as a mother. But when she came back, she came as a widow and motherless. And everybody who looked at her knew something had happened because she became a shadow of who she used to be. Yes. And some of us are in that state, not because we negotiated for it, not because we wanted it, not because we kept on calling it, come. No, it is because Nebuchadnezzar stepped into our marriage and destroyed it, stepped into our businesses and destroyed it, stepped into our ministries and completely collapsed it. And now we are a shadow of who we are. The devil has ruined everything you have tried to build. The devil has destroyed all your efforts. The devil has interfered with your dreams. The devil has shut down your visions. You can't even pursue them no more. But I came to tell you something. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18, the Bible says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I preach to you as I feel it? It doesn't matter where you are at today. It doesn't matter how destroyed you feel you are. I came to give you good news. God is rebuilding you. God is rebuilding you. And the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not do no nothing about it. Sickness will do no nothing about your life. I came to say, divorce will not even knock your door. God is building his church. And remember, you are the church. Tell your neighbor, you are the church. I am building my church. I am building my temple. I am building my people. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Sicknesses are gates of hell. Poverty is gates of hell. Spells are gates of hell. Curses are gates of hell. Addictions are gates of hell. And God is saying, I am building my church. Do you know what the world says, what it means to build my church? It says that I am building my church, meaning I am empowering my church. Rebuilding actually means empowerment. Let me turn it around. If this house has been demolished, it has lost the empowerment to hold us. But when we rebuild it, It's being empowered to hold us. And so what God is saying, I'm empowering my church. I am empowering my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm empowering my temple. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You are empowered enough to deal with it. Oh, somebody's not hearing me. You are empowered enough. And you are not just, you have not come to a season of, you are not just, you have not just been empowered. You are being, you are still in the season of being empowered more and more. Last mistake that this dude did. The dude called Nebuchadnezzar. Took the captives, Jewish captives. He took Jewish captives. The dude called Nebuchadnezzar decided to take the Jewish people captive. He did not only loot the temple, he went ahead and destroyed it. He did not only loot and destroyed it, he went ahead and took captive the people of God. Yes. Now, friends, if you want peace with me, you can take my car. You can take my house. But when you touch my family, you've crossed the line, baby. You've crossed the line, baby. Because you... Uncle Russell, where are you? You will force me to look for Uncle Russell so that he gives me what he works with. He works with some gadget. I don't know what you're talking about. That's secret. I said a gadget. A gadget. A phone is a gadget. You will make me look for a weapon and deal with you. Yeah. You mean you are not satisfied with what you have taken? And you have gone ahead to take my people captive. My children. Yeah. Hey. My friend. My brother didn't say it's my friend. You have birthed a problem that you can never deal with. The dude... Nebuchadnezzar has looted the temple. Okay, I can withstand that. He has looted the temple. I can withstand that. He has destroyed the temple. No worries. But now, my people, my children, now remember this, friends. Jewish people were and still are special to God.
Yes,
they are God's chosen. I mean, God has got a special or a soft spot about them. But now, Nebuchadnezzar, you have taken them captive. You have taken them captive. In other words, you are calling me to action. You are calling God to action, Nebuchadnezzar. I wish you would have just left it at looting the temple. I wish that you would have just left it at destroying the temple. But now that you have gone an extra mile to take my people captive, I'm going to step into action, baby. And you're not going to like me no more. You are not going to like me. You're not going to like me. Listen to me. John chapter 1 verses 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 13, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, we who were once far away have been brought near by Christ Jesus, by the blood of Christ Jesus. And therefore, me and you have been crafted into the family of God. You and I have become special to God. Now, the way God views the Jewish people, it is the same way he views you. But now the people have been taken captive. The people have been taken captive. Listen to me. Because we have received him and believed in his name, we have been given the right to become the children of God. And not that we have not only been given the right, but we have become the children of God. And we have been brought from far away into the family of God. We have now become the children of God. We've become special ones with God. We have become partakers of kingdom privileges. And therefore, the devil has no right to take us captive. The devil has no right to take our children captive. The devil has no right to take our families captive. The devil has no right to take our money captive. He must let our money go. He must let go our money. He must let go our children. He must let go our spouses. He must let go everything that concerns us. He must let go. He must let go. He must let go your health. He must let go. He must let go your health. He must let go your ministry. He must let go your giftings. He must let go your calling. He must let go. He has no right to take us captive. He has no right. And because he has taken us captive, now God comes into action. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 22, and he begins to say, and God is saying, because they have taken you captive, because they have taken you captive, I will shake the heavens. I will shake the heavens. I will overturn royal thrones. I will shatter the powers of the foreign gods. I will overthrow the chariots and their drivers. The horses and their riders will fall. Why? Because you are special to God. He is fighting your battles because you are special to him. He's fighting your battles because you are his temple. He's fighting your battles because he dwells in you. And therefore he says, I am going to shake the heavens because of you. Just because of you, I will overturn royal thrones. Just because of you, I am going to pull down the kingdoms of foreign gods. Listen to me. God is restoring you. God is rebuilding you. Because you are special to God, because you are the temple of God, because you are the church and God dwells in you, he has taken an initiative to rebuild you. He has taken an initiative to restore you. He has taken an initiative to renew you. He is getting you back to your rightful place. He's getting you to the rightful place. He's and he said something. And he said something. He said something. He said, I am waging war against the kingdoms that looted you. I am waging war against the kingdoms that stole your praise. I am waging war against the powers that ruined your life. I am waging war against the forces that taken your family and your kids captive. Listen to me, my friends. The war for your healing has begun. I am telling you, the war for your destiny is on. I am telling you, the war for your deliverance is on. The war for your restoration is on. Because God is interested in you than what even you do. He is interested in you because you are his temple. He is interested in you because you are his child. He's interested in you because you are the focal point of his life.
We want to pray for you. Send us a message with your prayer requests through Facebook or email and let us know how we can pray for you today. Also, let us know how this message impacted your life. I love you. God loves you. Shalom.